Okay, so let's go.
All right.
This party is a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time. It's time.
Ikrind. Mean power to maximum. Biogenic energy engage. Raise the monster.
Yes, yes.
It's time for the...
Jimmy Noble.
Yeah. I love it.
That is the best mix. You are a genius. A genius.
I hope you guys enjoyed that as much as we did.
We're sitting here laughing our ass off. Trying not to laugh into the microphone. Oh, my God. Okay, it's the Jimmy Noble Show, and we are today we have a kind of a little trip down, but a great show today. Great show.
July 6th.
July 6th. This is our 4th of July on July 6th show.
That's right.
And Jack Rhodes is here.
I'm here.
Yes. And Engineer Eric.
Hey, what's happening?
And Jimmy Doan. Okay, the three of us. This will be a concentrated show. And as always, a collector's item. Always. I did want to say hello to my niece Beth, who apparently I send the CDs up to her mother, my sister, and then Beth gets to listen to them while she's doing her power walk. She digs the show.
Cool.
So, hi, Beth. Also, we're getting listeners, of course, Oklahoma City. I don't understand who the heck is in Oklahoma City.
In the UK, I say hello, Mikko.
I saw where...
I think Timothy McVeigh has signed off.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, he has. He's gone. Colorado Springs, of course, we were out there. But the WW Idiot Box. What the hell is that? Somebody's looking us up on Idiot Box. That's a little scary.
Seems appropriate.
And I was looking here that we have from France, from the Île-de-France. Ilien, comme ça va. Mes amis. The Ile de France is where I don't know if you know this, but that is where Notre Dame is located. So they're praying for us. This is good.
We'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. We take anything we can get.
So we got that going for us.
Yes, we have that going for us. That's right. Did I say hello last time to Mike who wanted me to be president? Did we talk about being president?
No, that was classic email, though.
Yeah, that's great. He wants me to be president, and I said, I'm in it for the money and the airplane rides.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
200 grand a year.
No, 400. It's up to 400.
It's up to 400.
I think it's 400.
They got a raise.
But no, I want to. This is an invitation.
Right.
If you sign up, if you are on our mailing list, and all, I can count, let me tell you, all units of you, not enough, no, all tens of you, if you sign up and I become president, and I figure it wouldn't take that many votes, I'll explain that in a minute, you all get many mucho rides on the party plane Air Force One.
Oh.
I guarantee you, my solemn guarantee, that it will be party time. Here's what Jimmy would do as president. I would invest in a 4-inch wide, 2-inch high veto stamp in red. I would indelible ink. I would bank the 400 grand.
Hey, well, let's not forget Air Force Two.
That's true.
Air Force Two, right?
Air Force Two. Which I actually would prefer, I think, hopping around in.
Well, Air Force One's got the neato. You know what you could do? This is so cool. What are the neat things about this? Air Force One's got all the stuff you could throw out for, what is the chaff and what is it? The avoidance material.
Right, sure.
What do they call it?
The ECM. There's chaff. And then
But, I mean, you could just do that. You could, do that for fun.
Right.
I mean, 4th of July, can you imagine what
assaulting the
earth? No, I'm serious. You would do a low pass. I would spend.
Wings bending.
I would spend 4 years in AF1. It would be a non-stop party, and I would bank the 400 grand. I would, pension or no, I'd walk out of there with 1.6 mil in the bank. Well, I wouldn't spend a dime.
Well, the roofing companies would like you, but I think Allstate Insurance would be shooting you down.
The thing about it is, they spend a lot of money, for instance, on state dinners, the White House. As far as I'm concerned, the foreigners can buy it.
Right.
South Jersey.
I would be open for bribery. And if the King of France wants to go to a state dinner, we can do it in Versailles.
No problem.
And I'll fly over along with my buds.
Okay, we got a mojo working.
Yeah, mojo working. That's right. Got it going. Okay, July 4th. I want to say happy July 4th. Merry July 4th. And, well, no, it's a joyous July 4th. Whatever.
It's whatever you want.
We're going to talk a little bit about North Korea firing missiles. Look out.
That's right.
Look out. Coming over.
They're practicing.
Yeah, they're practicing. And I say this is a good thing. And we'll talk about that. Ken Lay dead. Okay, fine.
Talk about that more.
And the accelerating, the basic thing is the accelerating takeover of the populace by the government and the denigration of the market system nationwide. Right. We've got lots of examples of that.
Oh, you know, I visited one of our proud sponsors.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how proud they are.
Not anymore. Now, wait a minute. Is this one of the anti-sponsors that pay us not to mention their name, or is this one who tolerates us anyway?
Tolerates us anyway. Okay. Absolutely. You know, I went to the Eye Surgery Center because I had left my glasses over at a friend's house and figured that, and I went down there to try to get a new pair, and they said, well, you know, your little prescription is out of date, you know,
so of course,
had to go down there and get it. But I did like it, actually, the first thing, they had Conservative Chronicles in the magazine racks.
Right.
That was classic. And one of the cartoons, we were talking about global warming the other day, and they had this classic cartoon where they had drilled down, and it had a caveman and a cave woman and all this cave writing, and it says, the subtitle said, don't knock global warming until you tried it. And they're floating in their inner tubes, like by Antarctica, you know, they took the ice core. But I did notice something else. They do have, you know, when they're looking in your eyes, you know, those people bend over a lot. I noticed that they strategically have those tops on those women's, you know, trampoline tight.
That sucks. I went into the bank today. Honest to God, this little girl was, I guess she was maybe 5'2".
Mm-hmm.
And you, seriously, she can't have not have known that this was Cleavage City. I mean, honest to God, I mean, as Ms. Jimmy says, this might
have
your
been,
eyes.
This might have been her second job, Jimmy.
It could have been. She would definitely, definitely.
She just got off the pole.
Well, it could have been. Because I'll tell you right now, she was. And I normally say something like that, but I've gotten, shall we say, chastised in the past.
Well, for mentioning recently.
Your cleavage is showing, babe.
Well, and another thing is that they have
like a waitress, you know, they always bend over to give you your plate.
Right.
And you're looking straight down, you know.
Right.
I mean, Jimmy, in another 15, 20 years, no one will say anything. Oh, that's a nice, dirty old man.
That's right. I play the part now.
Yeah, but you're not quite old enough.
I'm working on it. Go ahead.
80
I'm working on it a day at a time.
80 plus, and you can pretty much say whatever you want.
Yeah.
With a smile.
That's it. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, well, you know, one thing, they give you these eye drops that dilate your eyes. And you can't focus on anything.
Yeah.
And hanging up in the walls are all of these poster frame pictures of all these cataclysmically wrong things that could happen to your eye in this little tiny font. Of course, you can't read it.
Right.
And I'm like going, you know, they need to get like the great big hippie book of 60s posters in there or something.
Yeah, M.C. Escher prints on the
screen. Well, yeah, exactly. Stanley Mouse or somebody, you know, in there. And maybe some 60-inch plasma
screens. Salvador Dali.
Yeah, anyway. But it was a great visit. They're very professional over there.
They're great. We've loved them for years. Well, I would say that one of the things that they should do, which would really be cool, is to make all the pictures fuzzy anyway. that way, when you walk in there, they say, look at that picture. What do you see in that picture? Gosh, it looks a little fuzzy. Ah, you need glass. You need an exam. That'll be $200.
Right.
And then you have, like, one of those electro glass-changing things where they come back. As soon as they leave out of the office, you tend it all clears up.
Right.
You
know,
like a little frosted electro glass over the front of it.
That's what I would do.
All right, well, let's finish our list and then get into it here.
Well, that's pretty much it.
Campaign finance reform we're going to talk about.
Campaign finance reform.
We want to talk about Sheehan's latest.
Sheehan, yes. Cindy the Lude.
That's right.
Sorry. Oh, my God. I can't believe that Hugo hasn't proposed to her.
That's right. No. She likes him. All right, well, let's North Korea.
North Korea.
Target practice.
Now,
apparently.
It is.
Last 2 days in a row, 3 days in a row, I think. Second day in a row?
Yes, they fired.
Plunk into the sea of Japan.
I thought personally that they were celebrating our 4th.
That's right.
I mean, wasn't that? So they're not allowed to send off any rockets around here. I don't know if you know, but on Jack's Beach.
In Florida, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Right. You're prohibited. On the 4th of July. Here it is, a big celebration day. Have all the fun you want, but
no
nothing
fireworks.
That goes in the air, yeah. Nothing that goes boom.
Right.
And
that used to be a state law. I don't know if it still is. It is. In Florida? No, Roman can't. Any propelled, like you said, a bottle that, rocket, nothing. It doesn't happen.
No, that's right. Well, so what you were left was...
Sparklers.
Sparklers and...
Snap and pops.
Although, I don't know, loud ones, you know, I don't know, get the decibel meter out.
That's right.
And these, you're allowed, I think, a smoke bomb. I would consider tear gas a good one.
Right.
But and then those little things that go that make snakes. Have you ever seen those things that you're allowed to
you see the South Park where they had the really big the world's largest snake?
That's right. Kept going.
Yeah. When is this gonna end? Well, according to our calculations. down the road.
So we digress. Speaking of smoke, you hear about the Green Cross happening for all our listeners out there in the San Francisco Bay Area?
The what now?
The Green Cross now. Distributing 55 kinds of medicinal marijuana in Southern California.
The Green Cross. Like the Red Cross, only
that's right,
the Green Cross.
Wait. You said it was San Francisco. That's Northern California.
I'm sorry. Well, I believe it was Southern California. It might have been San Diego.
San Diego. Okay, more like it. Yeah, okay. Well, San Francisco, of course.
Was I supposed to do research, Jimmy?
Yeah.
Oh. God. That wasn't in the job description.
No, you're right.
That's not, right. So,
I do.
You
all
know
that.
California. It's California.
Yeah, it's somewhere that way.
Out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mean what? Walk?
They're in Tapo Dong Touring.
It's not too, right. It's not too big a state, is it?
No. Should be too.
You drive right across it in a day.
That's right. No, that's
straight.
But the that's good about the marijuana, which also brings up, speaking of the 4th of July and the freedoms, I was watching one of the, apparently is extremely popular show because it doesn't cost anything to make it. It's the thing on Cops. Have you ever seen that? It's on, what's Cops on? A&E or?
Well, it's on everything now.
It's on everything. Yeah, but I mean, they've got the.
That's right. Bad boys.
Right. That's the bad Well, it's interesting when they always show the chase.
The chase and then the beat.
They threw something out of the car, you know, and then they beat the crap out of this guy's car. Then they get him out of the car, beat the crap out of them, and take him in. And I'm thinking, the guy threw out, like, you know, four rocks of coke. And the
cop's looking at him going,
you're going to jail forever.
Yeah.
You know, that's
we
it.
Don't need no stinking budget.
Well, it makes for good TV.
That's right. No, it does. But I mean, it is amazing how the noose, to me, it's stunning.
And the legal system.
The legal noose is tightening, sure. And they want to federalize everything. It brings up one of the we're not done with the missiles yet, are we? I want to tell you. Get back to the. My train of thought totally because I'm going to two. I'm going to two directions at the same time.
Well, you gotta think North Korea is wanting one of several things. First of all, they probably want attention. That's what a lot of talk is about. They're trying to get attention. They're trying to get essentially their name on the map.
Look, this little you know mini me hand grenade guy whatever is a you know mini nuke me whatever it is I don't know I mean he's asking for it you know he's looking to turn his place into a martyrdom parking lot or something I don't know
well what I think the suggestion should be that one of our nuclear submarines is capable of like 36,000 Hiroshimas or something so we just bomb the whole place then the last missile goes up and it shoots out an American flag with a little lead weight on it and you know
no this wasn't this we talked about before about putting the McDonald's in
there. Yeah,
parachute in a McDonald's.
Right.
And a Starbucks. It's a McDonald's with four Starbucks.
Right.
One on each corner. Right. You can't go. You cannot.
Yeah, it's like
go
an impenetrable force field.
No, that's right. And you have
democracy wins.
And
a goddamn Mongolian.
Right. And what you do is you have, of course, the obligatory 1,000 watt boombox that comes down and plays God Bless America. Exactly. Little Mick.
Now this is starting to sound like a South Park episode. Yeah.
Well, after you've turned it into leveled land suitable for track housing.
That's right.
Or landing the space shuttle.
Spec building.
That's right. Spec building in North. But no. My point is, this thing about it, I see. Is a typical governmental response. The United States government has this typical response, which I always cover with a little ditty. It's called, when in trouble and in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. That's what they do. I mean, this is insane. I'm thinking, what a waste of time with this little peanutty guy. So what? He's the Of course, the big long one, the Tai Dong, Tai Mai Dong 3 or whatever it is.
Tai Mai Dong.
Well, so what?
Wait a minute. Don't string on bottom of rocket. What's it attached to?
Well, let's think
about... Attached to my tooth like a baby tooth.
Well, on the other side, let's think about some of the dangers. Certainly, this puts Japan in direct danger.
Right.
They have one that they potentially could reach Russia.
Well, Japan will just send some zeros over there or something.
Yeah. But the Russians, apparently the Russians and the China, look, let's face it, they have a border with China, for God's sakes. Right. I mean, if the missile would go 4 feet, they can hit China.
Right.
It doesn't even have to, if it falls over, it'll hit China. And yet China has said, no problem with us. We're no problem. Right. Yeah. You know, we're building railroad. We're building to Tibet.
We're going to go to Tibet.
We're going
to
go. That's right. So they built this railroad 14,000 feet up in the air.
17,000
feet up in the air where there is like no oxygen. I mean, that's like, that, right. You put a launch pad up there, you're done. I mean, the space station comes over and like scrapes it.
It won't light.
Yeah.
It won't light.
So anyway, no.
All right, well, so we'll have to keep an eye on North Korea.
I say screw it. Yeah. I say let happen. What's the worst that could happen? Really, come to think of it. What's the worst that could happen?
Millions of people could die.
No, I don't think so. I think that...
200,000.
And?
Those are acceptable losses.
Those are acceptable losses. It's,
all right, well, that's...
I mean, those are acceptable losses. And apparently, what they're doing is they're talking about negotiating with a certified lunatic. I mean, this guy is almost as crazy as Cindy Sheehan.
We'll talk about later.
I mean, you don't negotiate with this guy. You walk away,
right.
You back away slowly, is what you do, and, you know, and make sure that you're not in range. I won't say not in range, but let him do what he's going to do. They don't have the capability of, it's not, of doing anything. It's not like they have a bunch of Indian-type people to put this rocket together.
Worker bees.
And what the United States has said that they're going to do in the past... Big scandal. You remember when we did the deal with the Chinese and gave them all the technology so they could put up their own satellites? Maybe that's what they want to do with North Korea. I mean, I don't think that's a really brilliant idea. I don't think it's a great idea to give them satellite technology when you're dealing with a certified. I mean, we're talking really one flew out of the cuckoo's nest. Crazy person here.
No, there's no question. You don't want to give them any technology.
I'm saying you back away slowly and see, and the market will figure it out. The people don't understand. They are going to make things worse if they do anything at all, anything. And I'm telling you right now, it's a Chinese, Russian, and Japanese problem. It's not my problem, man.
That's right.
It's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm telling you that this guy, once we back away and are not the great Satan anymore, he'll turn his anger on maybe the Japanese or even the Chinese. You know, when you think about Hitler signed the non-aggression pact with Russia and, you know, 20 minutes later attacked the crap out of him, and this guy would do the same thing. I mean, he's that crazy.
Right.
So the Chinese, of course, and the Russians are basically propping up his regime for all intents and purposes to support their farmers or their whoever. I don't know what they're doing, but it's going to backfire. They're saying it does on us. I mean, you learn from history. Here we are. We walk into Afghanistan, and we give Osama bin Laden. All of a sudden, we walk in. We give what's his name? Who's in the whole Saddam Hussein? You know, against Iran and arms for on and on. Kaboom! It all backfires. I'm saying let these guys do some backfiring. We can. Let's get out of the backfire business. As far as I'm concerned.
Well said, Jimmy.
I think that's the way it is.
Way to pinch that one off.
Okay, done.
All right, gun control.
Yes, you sent me the and this is the same kind of thing. The simple fact is that, as you know, what in North Korea, do they have any gun control? You're allowed to buy guns, right? Are there gun shows all over the place? What?
North Korea?
North Korea, yeah. What, everybody?
Welcome to the swap meet.
Please get your rapper ticket at the door.
That's right.
No, I mean...
Earplugs are over here.
The simple fact is that the first way to totalitarianism is through gun control, as we all know. You sent me the list of all the countries.
Right.
And
historical facts.
Historical facts. Right. And, of course, they're trying to...
Well, tell our listeners what the historical facts are.
Well, essentially saying, while you're looking it up, is essentially if you outlaw guns, then only outlaws have guns.
No, no. And actually, I'm not worried about the outlaws.
Right.
I saw a bumper sticker the other day, and that is, I love my country. It's the government I fear. No, I don't mind if the outlaws have the guns. Mm-hmm. It's the government's guns that I'm worried about.
Right. Well, wasn't that the whole purpose of this?
That is exactly the whole purpose. You know, everybody says, well, you know, they hold up. I saw Heston, for instance, Charlton Heston holding up some kind of musket and saying, you know, you can't have. BS. I mean, I need a street sweeper here, and I need a turret mounted gun.
It
should be absolute. Look, and it should be legal. It is legal. It is well, astounding to me.
Right to bear arms.
Right to bear. It is shall not be infringed. I mean, what? And no, they take it away. You can't even go out on Jack's Beach and fire anything.
Well, the worst thing is you can't go in. You can't go in your own backyard.
No,
and fire.
I remember when I went fishing that time down on Clearwater Beach. Remember, mm-hmm. And they came around.
I can see them making it illegal, maybe on a public beach or something. But
I was out there. This was late at night.
You're right on
I
your
took
own
my
property.
AR-15, mm-hmm. went out in the water and blasted some away.
Some fish.
Some fish.
The fish
and they
got
came
too
by.
Close.
They came by about 20 minutes later and they said, "Excuse me,
you have
Jimmy,
fishing license?"
No, they said, "You've been shooting." You know, they walked in the condo that I'm staying in, and of course it smelled like. You know,
there's still
GSR everywhere.
Right.
The walls were coated.
Right.
And they said, "You've been firing off a gun." I said, "Well, no, I was just out fishing."
Yeah.
And I didn't get any.
No.
Bang. And a couple days later, I sobered up. I realized that. Anyway, so the Soviet Union established gun control from 29 to 53. 20 million people died. 1911, Turkey. Germany established gun control in 38. China established gun control.
Well, Germany was okay, right?
Yeah, it was perfect.
Yeah.
The point is that you go through, here's Guatemala, you know, where they had all the stuff down Uganda.
They take guns away. They take away your right to have guns in a matter of years, under a decade in most cases.
You are under a totalitarian regime.
They come get you.
They come and get you.
You have no guns.
You have no guns. I have to say, the outlaws are the least of my worries.
But that wouldn't happen again.
Not here in the United States.
No, of course
Well,
not.
You think about it. We're going to talk a little bit about this. They have this homeless program here, and I wrote a letter, actually, to the county commission, and I don't expect to hear back from them, but I got another one in the works. I probably ought to send to the Gainesville Sun. But the simple fact is, if you want to opt out of any of the programs around here, you know, you go down there and say, look, the homeless program, I'm going to digress just for a second. The homeless program said in their 54-page thing that all citizens must take part in this for it to be successful. And I'm not going to take. I don't want to take part. So it's not going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
By
ipso facto, right now we know it's not going to work.
Well, that's right.
Because
even by their own logic,
right.
Because they said they've laid down the rules, and of course, so I'd like not to pay for it. And of course, you know what will happen if I cross a nickel off my property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll send a sheriff out here with a gun.
Right.
I mean, they will take me away.
Mm-hmm. Which leads us back to gun control. See how that works, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah. So the point is that they want to be the ones to, quote, protect us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, of course, the way they would protect us is to put us in some kind of, like a cocoon. Mm-hmm.
Well, Matrix.
Well, I also
the Matrix, right.
I haven't seen one of these in the last couple of years, but not too long ago, and even in the pre-9/11 world that we lived in, they had gun drives. You remember this?
Right. They still
would give you a free pair of Nike tennis shoes if you turned in a gun.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. Guess who that's aimed at, you know? You.
Well, it was in the middle of urban centers.
That's right.
That's exactly
the
right.
The Watts or whatever it is.
And they mask it. And give you a free
it's
pair
like
of shoes.
It's a patriotism thing, you know, turning your gun and...
That's a good thing.
It's a good thing, right. Well, of course, the simple fact is that they want to have the guns. And one of the reasons I think that they... I don't know if they realize it on a scale where it's an obvious conspiracy, if you want to call it that. I don't like to get into conspiracy theories myself. But the deal is here locally, for instance. One of the boons here has been a 17% increase in revenues not because anybody's making any more money, but because property values have gone up. And the property values in the last 2 years here have skyrocketed. So the tax assessor runs around and says, your house yesterday was worth $100,000 and today it's worth $150,000. And oh, by the way, here's what we're going to do. We're going to lower the millage.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to then they call that reducing taxes. Now, the check that you actually write is larger. And so it turns out that the coffers here locally, and this is, I've read someplace, this is nationwide, nationwide counties are experiencing a phenomenal boom in the money that they collect. Why? It's like inflation. It's property tax inflation. Not that anybody's making any more stuff. Not that anybody's getting any richer. The only people that are getting richer are the governments. It's still not enough. Of course, they, here locally, they've said we're gonna, I think that the increase was something like, it was 17 or 12 million bucks or something like that. And they're going to, quote, refund, or they're going to reduce the millage, which it turns out is going to save the average $150,000 homeowner, I don't know, $18 or something like that. When they're paying, you understand, of course, that they're paying $3,000 and $4,000, so it's going to cut right off the top, mind you, right off the top, it'll be $15 or $20.
That's right.
Boy, don't take all that money and spend it in
one place.
That's
a double cheeseburger.
Whoa, it's exactly right. You know, you could live for a week out there. Right. So anyway, the deal is that, and they're absolutely breaking out the champagne at taxpayers' expense and handing out awards and high-fiving all around because they have, quote, reduced taxes. But the simple fact is that...
What? This is an outrage! It's the biggest tax increase in history!
Exactly. Exactly right. So it turns out that, of course, it's still never enough, and this brings up the next thing, which is shutting down New Jersey. Did you read about that?
Yes.
Yeah.
John.
All non-essential government jobs.
Yeah, well, this is great. Non-essential. Yeah, it reminds me.
Which is the gamblers get the gambling.
Right. Well, not only that, non-essential, it turns out, is also the health and human, health and human child, the child people that go out and take the children out of
Department
your homes.
Department of Children and Family.
Safety. Children, they're going to stay open. And, of course, the jails are going to stay open. But everybody else is non-essential. Of course, the question, obviously, what's the first question?
Well, if they're non-essential,
what are they doing there in the first place? And exactly. And of course, what Corzine wants to do
is... Well, they're essential.
Yeah.
but they're non-essential.
They're non-essential. They're right. Essential. There's, see, if they're not essential, that's two essentials, so this, weighs out the not one not. Right. Right. Two
this,
to one.
This just happened this morning, too, in the 6th. Right. I believe it was. Right.
Well, the... No, well, shut down
at noon today or something, wasn't it?
No, it was over the weekend, but it was a rolling shutdown, which we'll talk about the rolling fast here in a minute with Cindy. It wasn't Cindy? Yeah, we're going to talk about Cindy in a minute. It started off, they immediately furloughed some people. They call them furlough. Of course, nobody's going to lose any money. I mean, when they come back, their pay is going to get all caught up. Right. The same thing that when Clinton closed down.
Paid vacation.
It's paid vacation, exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, when they, as far as the bureaucrats or the civil service worker union people are concerned, they should shut down the government every day because they collect and get to stay home and watch.
Sure.
The Monk Marathon.
SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. Right, exactly. Yeah, right. I'm saying. Oh, God. The Monk Marathon. That's a little too erudite for those people. Erudite for you people means... Well, never mind. Okay. So anyway.
I'm keeping the show hip.
That's right. I know you are.
With my SpongeBob.
SpongeBob. it's known in Latin America as SpongeBob.
Right.
It's Monk for the older generation. It's SpongeBob.
SpongeBob for most everybody.
Under 40.
I caught the Twilight Zone marathon.
That's right, That's right.
And I loved it. One of the biggest crimes you could have had was, in this one particular episode, was the little girl asked, well, are you a communist?
Yeah.
That was like, it was a criminal, a murderer, and her third one was a communist.
Right.
Those are the top three worst possible things on this 8-year-old's mind.
Yeah.
Which is,
well,
she'd
been indoctrinated by the education system, which is really, you know, as Walter Williams, I think it was Walter Williams, wrote, is an unmitigated failure, but and we're going to talk about that in a minute. So anyway, I'm out of the North Korea missiles. Wait a minute.
Control, property taxes, we're out of it.
Okay.
We're moving on.
Just a minute.
This is our and we'll be right back after these messages.
I asked Hanger Dogs what they thought about the North Korean situation.
Oh, that's right.
And they said, we can't. We know nothing.
Yeah.
I know nothing. I can't talk about
clink.
Any of that.
Clink, can you imagine? I mean, is their email being scanned, do you suppose? I mean, NSA.
Well, every time you get an email from her, it's either classified or not classified. It has to be go through some kind of.
If you're getting an email from Jimmy Doan, they're scanning your email.
They're scanning. That's right. Yeah, that's right.
We'll keep an eye on North Korea. Mm-hmm. We'll all hear.
I personally think that if they, the simple fact is, if they launch one and get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's parking lot time. I mean, I hate to say it because I don't know what the population is up there, but it's.
What? It will be less.
Well, it's
going to be a cutback.
It'll be asymptotically approaching zero. I can tell you right now. Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't zero. Be you. I wouldn't want to be one of the
survivors.
Regular. Yeah, that's right. You don't want to be there. No, you're going to be in the burn ward. No question about
the
that.
Nucleon burn.
Well, I mean, what I find interesting about the we're talking about the governments, of course, to dovetail into elections. Wasn't the Mexico elections, right?
Yeah, the conservative
the new guy
got,
win?
Hugo.
Yeah.
Hugo.
No. Mexican. Calderon. Calderon won. He's the conservative.
He's, well, ostensibly the conservative. Well, of course, this is, as we said before, it's one of the, when you elect these people, you never know what's going to happen until after it's happened. I think I mentioned this before on the Jimmy Doan show. When I was growing up, the first election I ever really realized was cognizant of was 64, the Goldwater election, which he was rolled over because of the atom bomb ad. But in 1967, people said, the joke was, they said if I voted for Goldwater, the next thing you know, we'd have 500,000 people dying and fighting in Southeast Asia. And I did, and sure enough, that's what happened.
I told you so.
Yeah, I told you right. So, and of course, Johnson, as you well. Right. And of course, locally in the
it didn't matter who you voted for.
No, well, recently, of course, they said the joke has been updated to the 2004. This is what 40 years later, thereabouts, almost exactly. And they said if I voted for John Kerry, the government would get larger and taxes would go up. And I voted for John Kerry, and sure enough, that's exactly what happened. So, you know, this is...
I told you so.
Exactly right. So that's the... So we don't know in Mexico, no sé, what is going to happen, but the...
Well, I mean, they don't have... I mean, again, it's really up to the U.S. probably to dictate their policies so much.
Well, it's not... No, no, you have it wrong. It's not up to us. We'll probably do it because we're idiots.
Right.
But the simple fact is, we should leave them alone to wallow in their own crap. Well, and then maybe they'll fix
it up. Pull themselves out of it.
You know, the problem is, you look at any government, and I've got another election here recently that I'm going to talk about, the Dr. Congo campaign. Mm-hmm. You look at what happens in different countries. They're basically, you think about it, in Mexico, there's people living inches from the United States. Mm-hmm. It's a culture of corruption, and it's the same thing in Hispaniola. You know, that when we went down to the Dominican Republic, is, you know, steps, not even steps, it's inches from Haiti. Look at the difference. There's no difference in the people. It's the governments. It is 100%
the governments.
So the people are just as smart on both sides. Right. They have the same capabilities,
same resources.
Natural resources, same everything. What is the one difference? It's the government.
Right.
And it's the corruption. Time and time again, as the government becomes more corrupt or is corrupt, you find totalitarian, you find corruption, you find bribery, you find total unfairness, you find a plethora of laws, laws against everything, confiscation of guns and money, and your property. No property rights, first thing that goes, and they veil this, they shield this, they cover this with the saying that it's for the community. They forget about individuals and individual rights, and there is no community without individuals. It is amazing to me how many people think of us as some kind of termite mound where everybody's the same except the queen. But you can't tell, maybe the termites can, but I can't tell one termite from another. Hey, there goes Bob. Oh, there goes Fred. You know, no. It doesn't work that way. You know, even killer whales, they can tell the difference, but they treat us as if we're some kind of termite thing that one size fits all. It does for termites, but interestingly enough, it doesn't for humans, as far as I know. I would say.
A hell of a termite analogy there.
No, it's, that was great.
No, that's the way it is. They treat us like termites. They think of us as a termite, and what's good for one is all for one, and one for all. What's good for the and they talk about this all the time.
See
guy, yeah. And you are either part of the community or you're dead,
right?
Okay, and because they have the guns and you don't. Ha ha ha. Tear gas Mars, Dr. Congo. I thought, look at this headline: Tear Gas Mars, Dr. Congo campaign. Well, it's DR. Now, let me ask you a question: when you hear of a government name. Here in the United States, it's America.
Mm-hmm.
Up north, it's Canada. Yeah. Down south is Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But when you hear about a country that's called the Democratic Republic of the Congo, or the People's Republic of China.
It sounds like
the
a
first
happy,
thing you think.
What do you think?
A happy for you community?
Yeah. No, I mean, it is absolutely endemic. It is mandatory. I think it must be in the government control book.
Right.
And that is, you name your whatever you want to do, you name it the opposite.
Right.
So if you, I would. It's too bad this country is not called the Terrorist Organization of America. So that would probably be, we'd be freer than, you know.
The TOA.
The TOA, that's right. So, no, the people, the Democratic Republic. I mean, that doesn't say it all. The Free Democratic Republic. Okay, here's this guy. Violence continues. 11 people killed. Here's the elections. It's run by an absolute tin pot. Total dictator guy, soldiers open fire, killing 10 demonstrators, that Bundu Dia Congo seeks the restoration of the ancient Congo Kingdom. That's spelled with a K, by the way. The ancient Congo Kingdom, that's the KK as opposed to the KKK, which includes parts of Angola, Congo, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Gabon. And of course, Mr. Ocala, I wonder if he's related to our city down here. I don't know, I guess not. Stress that the deaths had nothing to do with the election. Yeah, right. Okay. And in the Congo, the DR Congo, the UN has 17,000 peacekeepers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought it's interesting. Isn't there, don't we have a missile called the Peacekeeper?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what's it? I mean, we have a missile that's called the Peacekeeper, and you kill people with it.
Really?
I mean, this is so funny. And so anyway, after years of conflict and misrule, remember, this used to be called the Belgian Congo, and the Belgians, which is about the size of our county here, Alachua County, hoofed it out of there in 61, about, 40-some-odd years ago, and that was the last time they had, quote, free elections. So it's been over 40 years since they had free elections, and these elections, people are getting killed in the streets, I'm sure they have gun control and everything else. In the 40-some-odd years that they've had their own country. Now, you understand, the Belgian Congo is like Diamond Central, Gold Central, Tin Central, Palladium Central. They have, you put your heel in the ground and strike gold. they have all the natural resources practically you could ever want there.
It's a little different than
not quite
the
that.
Exact opposite.
It's exact opposite, right.
I was thinking more Beverly Hillbillies. You know.
One
day you were shooting some food.
This is what they can do. Anyway, and so here, since they've been an independent country, there are no roads, now, as in zero roads or railroads linking one side of the country to the other. I mean, that's what they've been able to do. I ask you, I mean, these are people that, other than, you can talk about bell curve all you want, but newsflash, they could have done it. It doesn't. And if the Chinese can build a 17,000 high railroad to Tibet,
right,
as they've done.
17,000
feet. I'm right. Sorry, not miles high.
Yeah. Well, you just high.
High. Yeah. High. Well, that's right. 17,000 people got high.
They're high. That's low.
No, 17,000 feet. You're right. Hello.
Joke it out, man.
That's right. So anyway, they could coolies put our railroad together. I don't know why they didn't shove a couple of coolies over there in Belgian Congo and build the damn railroad from one side of the country. They had 40-some years to do it. It didn't take them just 10, 15 years here to do it. And they paid them in gold.
Is that a politically correct tune?
No.
Yeah. I hope not.
Term.
You gotta realize that the people, think about the people that built this railroad, the one they just completed. It's like a bullet train or something, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the Canadians actually built the actual cars.
But Canadians, they were from the... How do they breathe up there, 17? I got newsflash for you, especially if
they're way up on the top of by the North Pole.
Yeah, okay, right. I don't think so. No, but I mean, digging the laying that track while wearing oxygen things or something. I mean,
yeah, must something.
Maybe they were chewing those pills like in that science fiction movie where the guy, on Mars, he could chew the pills and get the oxygen.
Oh, Futurama had one of those.
Did they? Theft. Do you think those cartoon people rip off any of the other shows?
No.
Futurama doesn't have any of their own sound effects. It's all original Star Trek.
Is that right?
Yeah,
not a single one.
Not a single
at least,
one.
At least the Simpsons got doop, which is now, you know, it's in the dictionary.
Right?
Yes. Yep. Yes. Yes. To the dictionary. So anyway, the but I love this. Friday is to be a public holiday to make 46 years of independence from Belgium. They're celebrating that, but they still can't build a railroad or a road across the country. And of course, everybody stayed home. This is no, like here at least people went out on our 4th of July. Here they stayed home because they're afraid of getting shot.
Right.
On their Independence Day.
Right.
So anyway, heavy deployment of police and UN peacekeepers who will shoot you.
Right.
But I just thought that was interesting that it's been 46 years since they had a free election and this one they claim is free, but it's not. Okay. And that, I'm done with that.
We'll segue into.
Well, we did Corzine or New Jersey shut down and they've lost the lottery.
I want to get into Sheehan.
Oh, Sheehan. Okay. Sheehan.
We can segue into that.
Wait a minute. Let me, I guess I don't. Maybe I'll talk about this campaign finance. We're talking about campaigns. George Will wrote a column on the 29th about campaign finance reform is more corrupt than the problem of question mark. And, of course, as typical, I think we talked about this in the last show. As always, across the board, every single time government creates a problem, they come up with another problem to solve it. I mean, it's across the board. And I am stunned, mind you, how the court system and even some of the, quote, conservative justices can misread the Constitution where it says, I mean, where does it say that you can't bribe, or not bribe, but I mean, contribute anything you want to somebody. They set these campaign limits. Say, we have them here locally. It's $250 or something like that is all you can give. And they, if you give them, if the guy accepts $251, you know, they fine him or something like that. I'm thinking, shut up. You know, what business is it of yours? They have campaigns. The courts have said you're allowed to spend all the money you want to. You're not allowed to tell anybody how to spend the money, but you are allowed to tell them where they get it from, a candidate.
Right.
And they've upheld that. I'm thinking, the McCain-Feingold, they've had campaign, quote, campaign finance reform since 1972 was the first one, and they've passed it, you know, every year since then to try and, quote, make it fair. And all they've ever done is keep the incumbents in office, pass more laws, get more people on the government tit to try and enforce this stuff, more work for attorneys, class action, the courts have expanded. I mean, it's a joke to think that they're ever going to fix this, and this brings up one of the things that goes across the board, across everything we've talked about today, and that is, Friedrich von Hayek wrote this in Socialism or Bureaucracy. I think it was in Bureaucracy in the 30s. And that is, once the government starts to try and control anything, ultimately they have to control everything. And the reason is, and you can see this here locally, the reason is that people flee from, naturally, genetically, viscerally flee from control. Here in Gainesville, for instance, we've got, Gainesville's in, is right almost exactly in the center of the county. And we have something they call the urban fringe, or which is the donut. And the city keeps annexing bits and pieces of it as it goes along. But you ask yourself, well, why would people live in this donut? Because they don't want to live in the city. It's real simple. And as they expand the city, the donut keeps growing.
Donut.
That's right. You know, the people keep moving out to escape.
Inching away
two
from,
levels
from the
government.
Rising tide.
Well, you think about it. You've got four levels of government, at minimum of four levels here locally. You've got, and actually you've got, between six and eight levels, depending on what you're paying for. To give you an example, we've got this. If you live in the city, you've got the city government, which is also, you have the county government, and of course you have the state government, and you have the federal government. We also have here, independent, mind you, a library board, a school board, which is independent taxing authority, and the water, which is independent taxing authority. So right there, what is that? Up to seven? Is that seven?
Seven.
That's seven.
Right.
Independent. And then you've got, additionally, if you live in the county, you've got something called the MSTU, which is some kind of metropolitan something taxing unit. But bottom line is you have got all these levels, and people naturally, as a cockroach tries to, when you turn the lights on, cockroaches flee. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that the people who live out there are cockroaches.
That is what we're saying.
That's, I don't want to say that. No, anyway, the deal is that it's no surprise that people try and escape this. And this campaign, I talked about this years ago when I was on an actual radio show. This campaign finance reform, the more you try and control it, as Princess Leia said.
I have it.
You have it. Let's do Princess Leia. This is exactly what it's all about. This is what happens every single time.
The more you tighten your grip, Doc, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
I love Vader in the background.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the whole point. The every time they squeeze, so campaign finance reform, it's now they wanted to do even more draconian rules, and they've thrown out part of the Vermont thing. The Supreme Court threw out part of the Vermont thing, but they want to make it nationwide. I can almost see where you might want to do something on a kind of a, like Micanopy, you know, if they wanted to do something. But, you know, when you federalize.
Launch a typo dong 3.
Yeah. Well, I say go for it. You've got the technology.
The thing is that one of the real problems that we see here is that they think they can outwit the market, number one. And the fact is that with almost $3 trillion going through Washington, D.C., if it was a automatic shooting offense to make a campaign contribution, trust me, they'd find a way to do it. And because there's just too much money. It's the Willie Sutton, YID Rob Bankos. That's where the money is. And it's that all over again. So you're never going to do it. You might as well let it go. It's like the Berlin Wall. You know, you're not going to keep the people out. So finally, they threw their shoulders up in the air, rocked their hands up, and said, "We'll just let it happen." And that's what they should do with this. So anyway, when you read these, the Supreme Court, they want to federalize everything. Typically, we've always been able to vote with our feet. If you don't like what happens in Gainesville, and this is what this donut is all about, you don't like what happens in Gainesville, you move out to, you know, one of the little communities, Fletcher Heights or something like that. Not Fletcher Heights, but Fletcher Park or whatever it is.
Right, or Hale or whatever.
Or Hale or someplace like that, because, you know, you have a little more control. But once you federalize everything, like campaign finance and so forth, or so many of the laws or the fireworks or whatever it is, it's not like you can vote with your feet anymore.
You got to vote with your boat.
Yeah. Well, see.
See.
That's right. Right. Aprendo un poco de español y hablo así. So that's right. You'll see my butt in rear or something. I don't know. Anyway, but they go through all this stuff, and it was interesting to see how the judges that wrote this thing, they have five criteria. We should have Curtis here to talk about this. We'll talk about it later. I'll get out of this. I'll squeeze this off right here in just a second. But one of the real thing comes in about the fifth paragraph here. During oral arguments, Chief Justice Roberts asked Vermont's Attorney General, "How many prosecutions for political corruption have you brought?" And the Attorney General said, "Well, we haven't had any." Well, then Roberts says, "Well, do you think political corruption in Vermont is a serious problem?" And the Attorney General of Vermont says, "Yeah." "Would you describe your state as clean state politically or a corrupt one?" And the Attorney General says, "We have a problem." Well, there's no prosecutions. Mm-hmm. It's all stealth. I mean, it's all, well, we think we have a problem. We can't prove it. It's invisible. It's an invisible problem. There was something else we talked about before that was invisible that they claimed. I forget. I'll think of it.
They want to keep their jobs.
Well, obviously. But I mean, it's invisible. Okay, I'm done with that.
All right.
What's next? We want to do Cindy. You want to do Cindy? Something about Cindy?
I've been waiting.
There you go. Come on. Jack Rhodes is going to say something about Luna.
Wait, let me get my little ready.
I'm sorry. Okay, Jack.
No, well, it's just, I'll let you do the talking, of course, Jimmy. But this is Cindy's latest rant today.
This is the 6th of July.
That's right. That's right. And has, I believe, officially begun her fast, along with her best bud, Reverend Al Sharpton.
Is he? I wonder if he's doing her. I don't know. She needs something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
She needs something.
Yeah. Okay. So now she's going to fast, right? Now I heard that it was a liquid diet. No, she's not really going to fast, but she can have milkshakes and stuff, right? No. Isn't it true that it was a solid
food? If you suck on this, hey, you get a milkshake.
it's white.
That's a where's the bee? So I just put that in there.
Right.
Okay, so anyway, yeah, right. No, the deal is, I think it's like the Hollywood people do, it's a rolling fast. And I don't mean the rolling here that they executed, Danny or whatever. I mean, it's a rolling fast is where,
I mean, it's kind of like
rugby. It's like rugby. You know, in rugby, as soon as you start to get tackled, you lateral the ball off to the next guy. Right. Then
you go to chow down like Homer at the all-you-can-eat seafood
exactly.
buffet.
No, exactly right. And then they closed. Yeah, as soon as he walks out, the place is closed.
Arr, he's an eating machine.
That's right.
No, so it's a tag team.
It's
fast
a tag team. So, what right. so as soon as you get hungry, you hand off your fast mm-hmm. to the next person who right. says, I'll not eat until I get hungry. I mean, this is so good.
That's
great.
The stupidest thing
no,
I've
no,
ever
they
heard
do it, though.
Life.
This is what they call fasting. I
oh
mean, you know, if you're serious, go down to Gitmo and see what fasting is all about. See,
right.
Watch some guy. I don't consider it a fast. It's the same thing that they do with filibusters in the Senate. Mm-hmm. I don't consider it a fast until you've got a needle in your arm with a bag. I mean, that's what I consider. When they're bringing you around on the, when they're pumping sugar water and protein into your body and you're laying there semi-comatose, that's a fast, okay? Mm-hmm. The thing about it, they do the same thing, the rolling filibusters, they call it in a Senate. I saw this in the Senate. We're going to have a filibuster. Well, we're going to have it from 2 to 2:30. And then we'll quit and go home. Right. Everybody get a good night's sleep. And we'll come back and do some more filibustering. I'm thinking, shut up. Right. You know, Mr. Smith goes to Washington would be like so rolling in his grave. You know, you stay up there and you pee in your pants, by God. You get a pipe down to the urinal or whatever it is. And you have to stand up there and do it 36 hours straight. And I'll bring you your coffee and beer and water and we'll see what happens.
Right. So where's Cindy's living right now?
Oh, yeah. Where's she? Now, she buds with Hugo Chavez, right?
Well, she prefers him over George.
Yeah, see?
She would rather live down there, she said.
She said, her hunger strike is going to be in front of the White House.
And is that the, okay.
And she's anti-war. She says she wants to declare independence from the war and occupation and oppression.
That's right.
Which actually...
Because our soldiers are essentially killing civilians.
Well, they are.
Killing, raping civilians.
They are, and the Americans and so forth. So, okay, let me don't have clean water to drink. War is a crime, and so forth. Okay, but the thing was, let's see. Oh, she accused the soldiers of war crimes. Our soldiers of war crimes because they're killing civilians. So they're
committing war crimes daily.
Right.
That's right.
So by being there, I guess they should probably just walk off. But of course, that would involve a bullet too, unfortunately for them.
Right.
From their commanding officer. that's the thing. So anyway, the I haven't gone through the entire thing.
Well, she's a lunatic.
Well, she is.
She's crazy.
Well,
the death of her son has affected her mentally.
Yeah,
her mental capacity is not the same. She's a deranged mother. It is.
And
now she's a figurehead, essentially for the Democratic Party.
Well, not only that, she is, of course, a lot of people would also say that she is giving aid and comfort, you know, to the enemy. That is to say that in Al Jazeera and the various Muslim newspapers, media, whatever it is, outlets, she's, you know, held up as a hero, kind of like right. Jane Fonda was in...
headlines.
Yeah, she's headlines, you know, as Jane Fonda was sitting in North Vietnam on the aircraft gun.
Right. Oops.
Yeah. Oops, right.
Nice move, Jane.
Yeah, right. No, that didn't do her. Of course, what is she? She's rich, you know. And Cindy's not, though. See,
well, it's interesting to think, from the Democratic Party, how do they really think this is helping them, and why are they... They're essentially using her.
Well,
she may not realize that's what it seems.
No,
like.
Of course she doesn't. But you've actually hit a valid point, a very valid point, and that is when all is said and done, most of the people, and I don't let the Republicans off the hook on this anyway. Anybody that's in power, the object is to stay elected. It doesn't matter what you do, who you whore out, who you kill, who commits suicide. I mean, anybody within arm's reach of Clinton was either dead or in jail, and you know he's walking around multimillionaire today.
Right. The point is, underneath the desk.
Or yeah, right, exactly. Well, that's arm's length. Right. So anyway,
cigar length.
Right. No, that's right, and stain, you know, length, whatever. So anyway. that was our Barbie doll thing. Wasn't it? we were going to have the Monica Barbie doll.
With a stain kit.
With a stain kit, right? Mm-hmm. That extra cost,
right?
And it, you know,
well, the stain refills.
That's right.
Yeah, and
you could do your own,
right?
Well, she's taking the hypothetical rugby ball and running down the field for the Democratic Party.
Well, again, one of the things is the Democratic Party will only stand for that as long as. It keeps them in office. In other words, it's a power thing.
Keeping them in office. They're trying to get into office.
Well, what I meant was as it helps them to do that.
As long as it's perceived as working. That's right.
And that's exactly right. The simple fact is, and let me tell you, nobody that is in government, is in politics, is immune from this. I mean, nobody, right. Except maybe Ron Paul. He's about the only one that I can think
of. RuPaul?
No, not RuPaul. Ron.
Well, I am amazed. I'm amazed that she is getting so much support from the party, and that she's getting so much press.
Well, I'm not amazed at all. Again, it's a marketing thing, and there are let's face it, there are I suppose millions of people that think that what she's doing is a noble thing. And if they happen to be concentrated in one electoral, you know, in one congressional district, that's what you go for. Right. I mean, that's what you go with. It's that simple. I mean, the fact is you want to stay elected at any cost. It doesn't matter who it is. You would, I mean, these people literally would align themselves with Satan.
That's right. Oh, they're trained that way from college. I mean, when I went to actually FSU for, well, it was our state college up there. And, I mean, you'd be amazed. It when you have student government elections, it's they are in training to
they
be politicians.
They are absolutely in training.
And,
well,
and you sit in on those meetings, and it is absolutely how do we get elected? Who needs to be on our team? You know, what
dirty tricks, absolutely, no problem, all day long. You know, we run down the street. Here's what you do. You run down the street naked. An ugly person mm-hmm. with a flag for the other party.
That's right.
I mean, you do it all the time. This is the kind of stuff. No. It's normal. I mean, you do this. It is a power trip across the board. And you have to ask yourself when, as we talked about, I think, in one of the things, that the guy spent $1 million of his own money to be some tax assessor or something.
Right.
What are you talking about? You know, are you nuts? I mean, does it mean that?
Yep.
That's a rhetorical question. You didn't have to answer that.
So it's only a matter of time before it's Cindy's running for office somewhere.
Again, I can tell you from my own personal experience. I remember there was years ago. It's what now you see it with Catherine Harris.
Right.
Catherine Harris got elected
here in Florida.
Here in Florida. Why? Because she got Bush elected. Now, I don't know if you know this, but they're throwing her over.
Yeah.
Now. Right. You know, she's running for re-election.
That's right.
And they are distancing themselves from her.
The
Republican Party is distancing them. You know, they're saying, no, we don't like you anymore. And, you know, she was
Secretary of Elections or something.
Well, she was she was the one
when there was the big scandal
in 2000. She was the one that had to certify the election.
That's
and
right.
I forget what secretary she's on. She was a cabinet member, and it was a political appointment because she was from her dad, I think, owned was the grapefruit or Orange King or something, or super rich family.
Right.
And they made, you know, big contributions, and that's what happens. You either get an ambassadorship or cabinet post if you're rich. So they don't hand out ambassadorships here from Florida, so you get a cabinet post. So anyway, the deal is was to certify, and of course the law was crystal clear, and she didn't follow the law. That's what got her trouble, was she didn't follow the law. She said, she was trying to be nice. You know, she said, I tell you what we're going to do this time. I know I'm supposed to certify this by the 5th or 6th or whatever it is, but I tell you what, it seems like there's a problem here, so I'll give you an extra couple of weeks. Well, then all hell broke loose, and that's when it finally ended up in through the Florida Supreme Court.
Five recounts.
And the Chad, and that's where, you know, the Chad.
The hanging Chad.
Hanging Chad, so, you know.
Great name for a band, by the way.
Well, not only that, I would want, you know, my nephew is named Chad.
And his birthday is on the 4th of July.
And his birthday is on the 4th of July.
That's right.
Hey,
happy birthday.
Happy birthday. That's right.
Well, Wendy Sheehan, Cindy Sheehan is always good for headlines.
Boy,
we'll have some next week. We'll talk about them, too.
It is fascinating when you say that. Of course, that brings up something about the media in general, and that is when you read the stuff that's important, that's headlines in the paper.
The liberal media.
They are liberal because that's the way they've been brought up. A lot of it has to do, again, I've said this so many times, when your livelihood or your ego depends on a mythology, you're going to go with the mythology every time. I mean, you're genetically honed to do that if you've been brought up that way. You cannot think any other way. It takes treatment. I mean, it takes time in a treatment center to get over this stuff in group. You know,
therapy.
It is. I mean, you have to face what has made you this way,
right.
And most people are just not going to do it. They are in. This is classic denial. So much of this stuff is
John Smith. I've been a journalist for 11 years.
No, exactly. Don't. I don't laugh. I mean, they should have recovery for journalists.
That's right.
I mean, that you could, if you could find a way to have them pay for it, except that there's no future in it. I mean, just so they end up telling the truth. So what? They're not going to make any more money.
Right.
I'm just and
it's not as much money.
Not for us anyway. But what happened?
Well,
what
Binky,
were we talking
as
about?
He says, you know, the oh God, what's the quote he's got on the thing?
Who?
Pinky.
Oh, Pinky.
Yeah, he goes. Truth is stranger than fiction, but bold face and outright lies are more entertaining than.
Well, that's over on Hanger Dogs.
Now,
Hanger Dogs. By the way, okay. Well, are we about done with that?
Yeah, we're done,
Cindy. Okay, I guess I am
happy fasting.
Happy fasting. That's right.
That's right.
The only thing I've got left is a which I did we talk about the No Pets Left Behind Act last time?
No pets left behind?
Yeah.
We did not talk about the no pets ever on the air.
Okay, well, I want to mention that before we go. I say it's light notes. It's going to be a federal law.
Right.
Scary, as usual. I had something else on my mind that just zinged away in a senior moment here.
A Jimmy moment
that we were talking about, and I forgot what it was. Okay.
Well, the only thing we touched on briefly was Kinlay, and rest in peace. And
they were pissed at him.
They were right.
They were pissed that he escaped by dying.
How dare you?
You son of a gun! You bastard! Come back! Well, you know, one of the things I think he never got to. He was supposed to be sentenced like next week.
Right, or so, in the near future. Sir.
Well, whenever. But he hasn't been sentenced yet, so he was guilty and everything. But I think that the sentencing, of course, would have to do with the fines and all that stuff. And now, of course, he's not going to have to pay the fines, I guess.
What about his chillins?
Well, I don't believe that the sins of father, in the United States, used to be. Mm-hmm. But in the United States, I don't believe that the sins of the father can be visited on the children. I think that they basically, they get to inherit the money as of, yesterday, whenever he died.
Right. Well, they don't
owe it. I mean, they're not the ones convicted.
Right.
I mean, I think it was pretty clever on his part to slip out that way.
Maybe it was clever on their part to make
that could be. Yes, right. Hi, Dad. Good to see you. You're going to be sentenced when? Here,
I got your Coca-Cola right
here. I got your Coca-Cola.
It's orange juice with a little chalky substance.
That's right. Yeah, just drink it down the limit.
Well, one could argue that if you're going to pick a time to die, a couple weeks before you're sentenced to prison for the rest of your life is not the worst time.
Good enough for me.
Yeah, going to prison and, going to the certified rape room and, and write your memoirs as you're being...
paragraph two there?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. So anyway, so he managed to duck out. I thought it was interesting that a fair number of people, and you think about it, there were, I don't know how many were actually hurt by the thing, there were shareholders, of course, that didn't bail. Like yours truly, of course, managed to bail.
Right.
Did I tell you about that?
No, you had some Enron stock?
I had a bunch of Enron stock. And what happened was...
Hey, good move, Jimmy.
Let me tell you. It turned out that I had it because they bought one of the other companies that I had or something like that. I mean, I wasn't really following. But I happened to look at it when I bought this house. I realized I had to sell some stock in order to pay for this house. Mm-hmm. So I looked at it and I saw that I didn't know anything about Enron. Mm-hmm. I said, but it was a fairly good chunk of my portfolio. And I said, I'll dump that. What the hell? Mm-hmm. I threw a dart. It was no skill on Jimmy's part, unfortunately. Right. Jim is, but I dumped it at the top. Paid for this house, and a month later it was worth zero.
And Jimmy spins the wheel.
Let me tell you,
they're knocking on the door now.
No, they were. Well, not only the SEC, but I had thought that they'd have me on the squawk box.
Surprised you haven't been subpoenaed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm surprised, but I'd also surprised that I wasn't asked to appear on squawk box or one of those. Oh, things. Yeah. How did you do it, Jimmy?
Right.
How'd you guess? No. No guessing involved.
Right.
Ken gave me a call.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
That's right. Ken said bail time. And I don't mean it's bail time because you're going to need bail.
pull the ripcord.
That's right. That's right. On so many. Okay, here it is. This is the here come the crickets. You're going to need a bail of money, BALE, and so it's time to bail out for bail bond. Okay, well, so much.
Cue the crickets.
Crickets cued.
Crickets cued. That's great. Okay.
All right, well, let's wind up with no pet left behind.
Okay, now this, I thought, again, this brings up something we talked about earlier. There is, I forget who it is, Katrina. There were dogs and cats. You saw them. The poor little doggies and catties on the roof. It's good to get away. Katrina, they're going to drown. So the federal government, mind you, has decided to make it a shooting SWAT team criminal offense if you leave your dog or cat behind during the next hurricane. I mean, you can, you left your dog or cat to die, so here, cue the machine gun, cue the electric chair. Exactly. That's your punishment.
Right, but of course, then
and we're gonna get a federal law. I mean, you can imagine where this is going. It is called no pets. No, the Pets Evacuation and Transportation Standards Act, which is called SPIT or something. I don't know, SPETA, whatever it is. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, but I mean, of course, the people, and I've got it in my hand. This is a petition you're supposed to send to your congresswoman, or I say human. I'm being a
very
little
loosely.
Very loosely. Excuse me there for a second. Congress organism
entity
thing. Entity, right? Exactly. emails and so forth. But I mean, the fact is, they want to make this a, so you can imagine federal law. So you can imagine earthquakes, typhoons, tornadoes. If you happen to scamper out to save your butt. And you forget Rover, you're in jail. You go to jail.
Right.
You know, your house blown away. You know, cornfield gone down in Iowa. For, right. You know, you're out of business and everything. And Ben, well, but the state will take care
but
of
they
you.
They saw Rover chained up in the yard. And,
that's right.
You know, and then you know they're coming down for
well,
you.
Well, of course, then of course, what happens? I mean, how about your ferret?
Right.
Couldn't find it. How about your goldfish? Should have brought it along.
Well, they can swim.
Well, what if your pet?
Yeah,
just,
right.
What if your pet refuses to go?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Officer, he refused to go.
He was playing poker like in that painting.
Yeah, that's right. That was my pet.
He wouldn't.
And he was winning.
Yeah.
He said, come back. You know, cash me out. Don't cash me out yet.
He hadn't listened to me for 10 years.
But I mean, this is a classic case of a federal law. I mean, it's just, this is the little girl in the mineshaft. We, you know, little girl, whatever it is, somebody, when you flew the helicopters over, you saw the poor little gaunt doggy on the rooftop, and now they want a federal law. It's just... I'm stunned. These people have way too much time on their hands. I mean, we're paying these people too much money.
Yeah.
I've often said that if they would cut the Congress entities pay to about 10% of what it is, we would get fewer laws, which is what we need. We got way too many now.
Right.
7 million words.
You're saying there's a lot.
We should have an auction and sell them all off.
Yep. Who, the Congress people?
The laws. Well, both.
Okay.
We're selling this law to the highest bidder.
That's right.
Take some paperwork home with you.
Once again, proving lots of non-essential government.
Non-essential.
People don't trust the market. The market is, the thing about it is so phenomenal, is that here's a law, and we're talking about the education. Here's some, you know, firing teachers. The education system is this, they're talking about the voting and so forth. And yet... when you spend money, the ultimate, and they talk about the revered democracy, and the ultimate democracy, of course, is every single day when you go buy something in the store. This is the ultimate democracy. You get to vote every single time you open your wallet. And yet, for Congress and the other people, you might have to wait as long as 6 years before you vote for somebody. And by then, whatever transgressions they've done, however many hookers they've had in bed or naked guys for Barney Frank or somebody like that, you know, it's all forgotten and they stay elected. Whereas if I buy Wheaties and find a finger in it,
right.
You know, in the next 8 seconds, I'm not buying any more Wheaties.
Right,
ever.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, the vote is... the
self-correcting market.
Self-correcting.
System.
It is self-correcting. Mm-hmm. The problem is that the people are impatient, which they're entitled to be impatient, but you don't take the guns and so forth to do it.
That's right.
I got one quick light note,
okay,
and then we can blaze out of here.
Okay.
I just have a couple of things. Remember when you were talking about that 72-ounce steak?
Yeah,
I had a couple.
No, that was the one in Amarillo.
Yeah, in Amarillo.
Don't forget the potato.
The potato.
It's R.J. Bob Lee. Was the guy who started the Big Texan Steak Ranch. And one night, apparently, a lank cowboy came through the front door in the restaurant declaring he was so hungry he could eat the whole damn cow. So Bob, always ready to have some fun, gave him a big grin and started cooking steaks. And when the cowboy finally yelled, you know, calf rope, he had consumed 4.5 pounds of meat. So he declared from that day forward the meal would be free to anyone who could eat it all in 1 hour. So 42,000 people have tried to do this. Around the world, about 8,000 have succeeded. Again, it's a 72-ounce sirloin steak. You have to eat the baked potato, salad, dinner roll, and shrimp cocktail.
You have to eat the shrimp cocktail?
Apparently so, according to the article
that's
on
new.
Their website.
That's new.
Must have been. But the winners have actually included an 11-year-old boy and a 69-year-old grandmother. And
well, I told you, I saw a hulking, huge 300-pound truck driver fail a quarter of the way into this thing,
right.
Walk out like a whooped puppy, you know, ready to hit the vomitorium. I'm dead serious. It's $53. It was anyway.
Well,
less.
No, I'll tell you. I got some more in, a little bit more here.
Research.
There, right now, the former Cincinnati Reds pitcher Frank Pastore did it in a record time of 9.5 minutes.
No.
Yep.
My God.
9.5 minutes. The unofficial record for the fastest time belongs to a Bengal tiger. he didn't have to eat the salad or anything, but he did steak only.
Get a ticket, nip out of the maitre right. D on the way.
But they liked his method was sniff, lick, gulp. Took him 90 seconds. But back in the 60s, wrestler Klondike Bill ate 2 of the dinners within the 1 hour time limit. Could you imagine?
I mean, this is
2 of the dinners.
Colonoscopy.
144 ounces.
Can you imagine the cholesterol? The cholesterol has got to be, multidimensional or something. I mean, you have to have like an extra heart if you eat that much.
That's pretty amazing. And some other guy, Richard Lefavre.
Lefavre.
Yeah, I don't know, something like that. Anyway, he ate 2 of the steaks on the Donnie and Marie show in 1990s. But yeah, by the price, it was originally priced at $9.95. Mid-1990s, it was $39.50. Then it went to $50 just before the millennium. And last year, the highest market prices for cattle pushed the price to $72. And they make you pay for it in advance.
Right. Well, I've said when I was there a couple years ago, it was $53 or $54.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured out that if you just had them serve it to you, it was worth it. I mean, walk out. Okay, I fail. Boom. And you walk out with the dinner. It was when you figure how much steak it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can feed easy. Well, think about it. 72 ounces. I mean, you can feed
six ounces is good.
Right. So you're talking about 10 or 11 people you can feed mm-hmm. easily.
Right.
For
$72.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's right. So now you're talking about a $7 meal.
Right.
Give me a break. A steak meal, steak dinner, and like that.
Of course.
Done.
You're fighting over the potato a little bit.
And the salad.
I did want to mention one more thing.
Okay.
Along the same lines, the hot dog guy said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Six world.
53
Asian guy, right?
Yeah.
53 and a half.
Six time in a row or something.
A little tiny guy, too.
Yeah. But it was 50 some hot dogs.
53 and 3/4 or something.
12 minutes.
I don't know about how long.
That was like 12 minutes.
It was fast.
11
minutes.
But if you see that guy, he eats. It's not only does he win, he doubles the next guy.
Yeah. He's also like the hamburger and the pizza and the peanuts.
He's got a whole gig going.
Yeah.
He's down.
Professional. All right. Well, thank you all.
Been great.
And don't forget Hanger Dogs.
Yep.
And also don't forget Stephen Molyneux.
Jimmy at JimmyDone.com.
Thanks a lot for listening. And we will be back as soon as we can.
Yep.
Or maybe sooner.
That's right. Maybe sooner than that. It's the new dimension.
Sound.
That's right.
Kick back and listen to little Jimmy Smith.
There we go.
Thank you for listening to The Jimmy Doan Show. Spread the word by making CDs for your friends of The Jimmy Doan Show.